You know, that's all he's ever wanted is yours. Just your intimacy. Just your love. That's what he wants. Greater than works. Supersedes the revival, even in the sense of the word, that it's what causes it. Hallelujah. We have our grandbabies over every weekend, a different set. When I'm sitting out in the living room or outside with them, all I want is the pleasure of their company. All I want is the pleasure of being in their presence and they being in mine. Invariably, I walk into my large den that I have a desk at and do my studies at. One of my granddaughters, and oftentimes I walk in there, there'll be a little stickum that they left in their visit. It'll say, "Papa, I love you. You're the greatest papa in all the world." And you know what that does for me? There's nothing in this life that equates to it. Whatever they ever needed in this life, not because of any work that they could do, but because of the pleasure of their company and their love for their papa. That's all I need. That's all I need. I worship you, Jesus. I magnify you. I glorify you and worship you and exalt you. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy, Jesus. We exalt you and praise you forever and ever and ever and ever. We glorify you, Jesus. What a day. If we'd have never had this service, it would have been a day in the Spirit. One of my favorite, because they're all my favorite services of this week, is this morning. Hallelujah. I know she'd say it's not me, and it wasn't, but Jamie. Praise God. Incredible. Thank you, Jesus. My lovely wife of 46 years, would you please stand? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm like Jim. There's no way that we've been married 46 years. Because I'm not that old, right? There's no way. I'm not that old. It's not possible. Well, we'll see what he has. How many are betting for or against that I'll get into my notes? Who knows? Oh my God, that was good. That was so wonderful last night too, wasn't it? Oh my God, and every single service has been amazing. LA, it was wonderful. Just another message of laying down our life. This is it. We get one opportunity and, there's nothing that we can't trade for if you fall in love with Him enough. Hallelujah. As Jamie was sharing the intimacy of her time with the Lord and helping us, and it was not anything of brag. It was just, this is who I am and this is who I've been and this is where I'm at and this is why. And this is who we all are. And Gary's teaching on presence, and my God, I can't wait till the next time he speaks. He's opened up something incredible through the Holy Spirit concerning what we've been made in him and the presence of God that dwells within us already. But I was relating to her so much in the sense of the word that my life in Him, especially in these latter years, predominantly has been in that place of worship and private worship, the hours, and I know I say the hours, and it should be, and that's not to use that term to say that everybody's in hours, but He's called me for a purpose, and that's to receive a revival, and that's what I do. But the hours that I spend in those early morning hours, and again, my getting up a few hours before daylight doesn't make my time any more special. It's whatever time you put in. But in those early hours, for the most, well, I won't say the most part, but a good half probably, is in that communion and in that intimacy. I can say this with all, and then I know the other half needs to be, a good part of that has to be word, because that's where all doctrine comes out of, is word, right? Truth. But all the prophecies that He's come forth with that has ever been a blessing in these last few years out of my life has been predominantly out of that place of intimacy and spending those hours coupled with praying in tongues. I found out a long time ago, you don't have to, it's not a cookie cutter like, okay, I'm going to set aside this amount of time for worship, then I'll revert to tongues. It's the same Holy Spirit. You just back and forth. And you know these things, but these are just practical things that He's having me say right now. But as Jamie was telling us and sharing with us that place of intimacy and those songs that were written out of that place, I was saying, this is the place where the Holy Spirit's had me. I think I got hooked when Pastor Dave began to say that this had come on his life, and that was many, many years ago, and not as a mockingbird, as a mimic. I did follow him very close. But I said, okay, if he's having that kind of result, what would it pay for me? And I can tell you this, what I've found out of this, and I'm just indulging some of my own personal intimacy, is that that place of time that I spend with Him and worshiping Him and intimacy with Him prior to going into Word and meditation and all those things, that also every single limb on this journey has to be kept. Otherwise, you'll get out of balance in some area. But I've come to know this, that I've loved Him. I've come to love Him more and more. More than even the aspects of revival, in which I am dearly in love with the revival. I'm dearly in love with believing and seeing the lame walk and the deaf hear, and some of the closest people to me on planet Earth be restored. And I believe with all my heart they will. But in those hours, it's not like that I'm seeking Him in intimacy for that to take place, although that is the end result. But I've found myself loving Him and desiring Him to be transformed into His image and to receive from Him that intimacy and yield to Him, humble myself and yield to Him. It's beyond the dreams of the ministry. It's beyond the anointing to stand in the pulpit. It's beyond. It's not my identification. I sure appreciate Jim asking me to come. I'm speaking. I'm sharing the pulpit with some of the best teachers in the world. And I myself am still in a place of being a student. But this right here, this, I can tell you with all truth, this is not my identification. Strip this away from me somehow. And who I am in Him is in that place of knowing Him face to face. Even in seeking Him for the outpouring and for the cripple and the blind and the harvest, because that's on his heart. When I first meet him, and you know, he sits on my couch. You know that, right? Somebody said, oh, he doesn't. No, I understand. He's not. But the Holy Spirit has become that close in the sense of the word that I see Jesus. And sometimes I almost think I can see him, but I haven't. So I'm not going to make you believe something that hasn't. The reality of him being in the room, though, is so vivid to me. Is that it's not a game. I mean, it sounds a little childish. But if there's been a coat left on that couch next to my easy chair, or a blanket where he sits, I'll move it. Because he's that real to me. We'll just see if we can recap a few verses. We started talking about spirit wind and spirit time and used the word ruach. And I'm not trying to impress you by teaching you Hebrew. I leave that to real smart guys like Pastor Jim. That's not the lesson last night or the night before. It's not now. But I'll read this and remind you in Genesis 3:8, it says, they heard the voice, they being Adam and Eve, the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees. Now, in the cool is one word, ruach. And again, this lesson's not built on, or you receiving's not built on, you learning, or you'll probably never remember. Some of you may. The concept of ruach is not something that I discovered myself, although I've studied it some. But I was telling Jim in his office yesterday, I said, you know, when it first came to me, years ago, a cousin of mine who was in the ministry and is, incredible studied man, I would say almost at a theologian level. He pastors a large church of God in Tennessee, and he said, have you seen this? And I said, no, but he was going over it with me, and he said, I contacted, he was close in a mentor type, this was a mentor of his, and he said, I contacted Dr. So-and-so over at Lee University or college, and he said, he's a theologian, and he said, I wanted to know about the Hebrew here. He said, I didn't want to overreach. Am I believing, trying to say that this ruach, this cool of the day, because that's what the Hebrew says. And I was asking Jim about it. He said, yeah, they really could have done a better job in translation and putting more understandable words there. But he said he contacted that Hebrew theologian. He said, now, does this really mean this? When it says that they met him in the cool of the day, and this word ruach means, we went into it, it's spirit or breath, or you could say spirit time. And he said, does that really mean what I think it means in the Hebrew, that they were spending time with God at that time of the day? In other words, does it really mean that they had an appointed time or a time that they were spending with the Lord, and the Lord was coming at that appointed time or that time and really spending time? He said, you got it. That it bears out in the Hebrew. That's exactly right. It wasn't just a temperature of the day or anything like that. It was a ruach, was that time in which they were spending with him. Now, we don't know, because it's a real short distance between Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, where they fail. Genesis 1:3, I believe, is another verse we went to. In the first place we see the word ruach is when it says, and the ruach, or the Spirit of God, brooded over the planet or over the waters. And we're not going to turn there, so I may not have that exactly right. But that's the first place you see it. And that Hebrew scholar said, that's right. It was a time that they met, according to the Hebrew, where they were meeting with God, or they had a visitation with God. And so we don't know much about what went on, because 1 and 2 is creation and instruction. Don't touch, don't eat out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then 3, they fall. And then God comes looking for them, and he's calling out their name. But he's calling out because he's coming to this place where it says he came in the cool of the ruach of the day. In other words, to have his, and you can see there that it was something anticipated by God and something revisited by God. So we don't know what Adam and Eve were doing. We have this building because we need it for covering. And we have clothes because we need it for covering. The knowledge of the tree of good and evil has changed things, even though we're going to receive a glorified body. And we're going to live in a new heaven and a new earth, and the new Jerusalem will come down on a new planet, as Jim was talking about. Not like this one, it's going to be a new one. But we'll all be dressed, according to Revelation, in robes of righteousness. So knowledge has changed. There's no more being unclothed physically. But it wasn't necessary for them then, because they had no knowledge, except that, thank God, the temperature was perfect. They didn't need a building because the earth was their building. No mosquitoes. They could lay down at any place and the ant wouldn't bite them. No thorns, no thistles. Man had not begun to till the ground, but that wasn't the first assignment. He said the first place was to keep the garden. Now, I don't know what really, I don't have, and we're not going to go into that. I don't have explanation on that. But keeping the garden didn't have anything to do with sweat, because sweat was in the curse. So there wasn't even going to be any sweat. That'd be wonderful. But we don't know what they were doing. I don't know what that amount of time was, but this one thing we do know. There's one thing we know that they were practicing, at least for a little while, was ruach. They were having an appointed time with God where he would come on a daily basis. Hey, Adam. Hey, Eve. Does that sound like communion? Does that sound like presence? Does that sound like intimacy? It wasn't, hey, Adam, prophesy to me. Adam, well, I couldn't. There was no scripture. I just created you for you and I to have communion. Ruach together. What have you been doing today since yesterday? Tell me the story of what you've discovered, and the animals, or I don't know what those conversations, but it was face to face, and mainly more than just physical communion, it was spiritual. It was Ruach's spirit time. They were able to share spirit time, because remember, at this point in time before Genesis 3:8, they were alive, spiritually alive. Like you and I now are spiritually alive, we can have ruach with God. But once they died, it wasn't the travesty alone that they received a death nature. That's enough. They can't keep the law. They're going to continually sin. There has to be blood sacrifices. There has to be the tabernacle come into effect. Law and the prophets. 4,000 years of all kinds of symbolic things that must be done, blood sacrifices, all kinds of things, to try to remind humanity that the first place that God ever wanted was communion and life with His children, His sons and His daughters. And to have presence with them. But it was lost at that point when God said, "Where are you?" He knew where they were. But that the communion time, "Where are you guys at? I'm waiting. I'm looking." Every afternoon or at Ruach, we have communion time where we fellowship. You gotta, if there's ever an absolute, perfect, living example that we listened to was 1 hour of someone who has Ruach or fellowship. Like all of you have the capability of, and many of you are enjoying that as well. But for 4,000 years from that time on, no one ever had that kind of fellowship like Adam and Eve had in that span, whatever that span was. Not David, not in his tabernacle, not David's tabernacle outside of the city, not all of anything, not any monumental thing, not even the exhibits of Elijah's power. All of that was done externally, and it was done in all the gifts, as Gary said last night, and Jim, amen, that all the gifts were exhibited except praying in tongues and interpretation. So the Old Testament had all that power, but they never could enjoy face to face like you and I can today. Well, there's so much scripture and so much, but he's got a little assignment, I think, here a little bit. But I just want to go straight to the New Testament scripture that I saw. It was as if God drew a line. You know, you can see a line go right across 4,000 years. And let's go to John chapter 14. Because Ruach, and again, there's no virtue in that particular Hebrew word, is the concept of face to face and fellowship. When I think about, and as I was exhorting a little bit about my grandkids and granddaughters, there may be some of them are watching. I love my daughters as well. They're so wonderful. Candy gave me two beautiful daughters, and out of that sprung a whole bunch of grandkids. Hallelujah. Somebody said if I'd have known how wonderful they are, I'd have had my grandkids first. They're awesome. But no, my daughters are awesome also. But all I ever want from any of them, I don't care what they, I want them to have success. I want them to be able to prosper. But what I want is them to know God. Follow God. And I just love having fellowship with them. This chapter here, we're not going to go into too far in the sense of the word. Just want to catch on one thing here. But this is the chapter, you know, this is 13 through 17. Jesus is just hours away from going to the cross. He's in here with his disciples. Judas is about to betray him. And the Lord, this is the Holy Grail. These chapters are the Holy Grail, I feel, of the New Testament. Although all of it is anointed. But Jesus is sharing with His disciples. This is the chapter that says, all things are possible to them that believe. Whatsoever we ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. And then there was, let's look at verse 21. It says, Jesus is speaking and He says, "He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him and will manifest Myself to him." That word manifest, if you look it up, it means to exhibit, to bring forth an exhibit of the relationship. that's taking place. And so Gary's teaching us in depth, but I can tell you this, that presence that we're coming to realize is going to be exhibited among men like never before through this church that is having Ruach. And then there's another word here that now is in the New Testament that I believe is a, it's the resurgence or the resurgence of what God had with man from the beginning. It's the Ruach of the New Testament. The Amplified says this, the person who has, verse 21, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really, really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show and reveal, manifest myself to him. And I know that you could say, well, this is positional truth of born again. I understand that. But the word here that he's about to use, that he uses from the beginning of the chapter, in my Father's house is many mansions. It's the word mane, but he's going to use it again in the same chapter and exemplify what he's saying here, that God's heart is for the one who loves him is to come and manifest. How many of you want him to manifest? We have to have a manifestation in these last days, not just in us that we have a fellowship with him, but that manifestation follows us into the streets. It follows us into our families. Our families have to be saved, and they will be saved. But it's not going to be through a cookie cutter religion. It's not going to be through mandates, and it's not going to be through any type of religiosity. I'll manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. 23 says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, now he's speaking to Philip here, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode. That's the word we're after in just a moment. Jesus answered, if a man really, now this is out of the Amplified, same verse. Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teachings, and my Father will love him. We'll come to him and make our home, abode, special dwelling place. That word abode is the word mane. And it means in simplicity, there's other words to be added to that, but for the sake of this teaching without destroying any of the integrity of it, it means a place of staying. I'll stay. I'll dwell. Now we know he'll dwell with us as born again. But there's something that's got to come out of the box here. There's something that's got to proceed further in our life. And this word mane is that place of staying. Is it possible that this is comparable to that place where they stayed in his presence in the garden? But Jesus is saying to us, I'm saying to my church, what I want of you is to be able to replicate myself to the world. And it's going to come through a place where I can come and not only take up my abode as in the positional truth of born again, but this goes beyond that. It's a place, a dwelling place, a place of staying. Hallelujah. A place of staying. 14:24 says this, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's word, of course, which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace, peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. Now, if there's anything in these last days we're going to have to hold to, is let not our heart be troubled. But we've got to understand this. It's not going to be through a passive identification like, okay, I went to that conference, or I go to that church, or I even know the positional truth that I have the power of God that is resident in me, or the place of staying that's resident in me. This peace that he's offering here comes on the hinge of abiding in him, and that place, coming to that place of realizing and living in that place of mane, where it is a place of continual staying, and his presence continually is staying in us. And that's going to be incredibly important in these last days. Because I can tell you something about what's going to take place. That the woke church, and some of the church that we were talking about, the Holy Spirit was exhorting on yesterday morning concerning the lifestyle that's lived by the minister, and then allowed, somebody was asking me some things afterwards. They said, well, what about this and what about that? And they were good questions, because I was talking about where the church has come to, what has replaced pure worship has been performance. Because there's no mane, there's no ruach, there's no place of dwelling that's face to face, although it's provided, although there may be born again there, but born again has got to go to a place where you fasten yourself and say, if this place has been provided, now 4,000 years of death, there was nobody that, it wouldn't matter how much animal sacrifice. You still couldn't get back to the original place where Adam and Eve could ruach or face to face with him. But then Jesus comes along and says, now I'm restoring all that. There'll be a mane. There'll be a place of dwelling. There'll be a place where you can go in if you want to and have a continual dwelling. He is dwelling in us positionally. I understand that. This seems to go beyond even that in the word mane, where he's talking about in this is hinged on also everything that he's promised in chapter 14. Whatsoever you ask, that shall you receive. We're kind of a ways from that, aren't we? Not by truth, but by way of example. We're not seeing that yet, but we're headed there. We're headed there in a very powerful way. And so he's saying all this has been restored to you, but you've got to participate. You've got to go into it. And what's going to be so important is it's going to provide for you and I not just the ability to do the works of the ministry, but also a separation, because there is a separation coming, and it already is, between that a church that is apostatizing, walking away, taking out the scriptures, destroying, as Gary just put a dagger in that particular false doctrine last night, just as an hors d'oeuvre going into his message. But there's coming a division like never before, not just in doctrine, but as an example of who will be walking in a place of undisturbed rest and peace. They will be coming, and we'll be able to save a lot of that apostatizing church, because they'll be coming knocking on the door as they did in the ark, let us in. Because woke has failed us. Performance has failed us. Our kids are going to hell in a handbasket. They're being destroyed. We see life and peace on you. We see that you not only can get healings manifested, but as Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And that is part of the great witness. Now, before Gary ever invited me over yesterday morning for coffee, I think it was before the first sip, or I may have had one in my hand, this scripture came up and I knew it was like, wow, I hadn't even been dwelling on that. But it may sound like I'm jumping track for just a moment, but I'm not. This is where we're headed in this last day. And the Lord took me immediately. I just saw it and heard it. So you can go there to Revelation chapter 12 for just a moment, because I knew it was prophetic. And I'm not saying we're at this moment in time, because I know this is a time yet to come. But the Lord was saying for us that as we're assembling together to remind us of the hour that we're living in and what is where we're headed and what's in front of us and how that we're to prepare. Now, we're preparing for revival, and we hope there's a reformation. What's a reformation? A reformation is when revival is able to get into the government, and it's able to change laws and principles. It's able to get into everything that makes up civil unrest and change it. And if you think, this is not turning something spiritual now into a place of political, but if you think that this November's election doesn't matter either way who goes in, you're severely deceived. Severely. Because it will matter. It will matter a lot. And I've taught this, and I believe with all my heart, that we can have a revival without a reformation. In other words, America being saved. And I'm not saying we'll never go back to, I don't think, apple pie America, good old, there'll be always changes, but we can. It is possible to see a great reformation in America. It is possible. But we can have revival without reformation. But we can't have reformation without revival. It's not possible. And I have taught for a long time and still believe with all my heart that whether or not, either way, whether we have reformation and who goes in will be a catalyst, a big catalyst, not to the revival necessarily, to the spiritual part of it, but to the part of reformation. And I've taught this, and I've understood this forever, for the last, at least since the last 4 or 5 years, that even if there is no reformation or change, in that sense of the word, we can still have our revival. We can still have that. So that won't affect the revival. But if you don't think, because absolutely, the truth is, the first church that had the Acts revival, paganism, they were having it in the middle of paganism, real paganism. But you've got to understand this, they went through hell. They went through hell. And if you think you're going to have a revival without a reformation, it's going to be inconsequential, you're wrong. It'll go into every man's world if it keeps going like it is. You won't be able to hide from it. We're asking God first for this revival, because that's who we've been called to be, is revivalist, and bring forth a revival in the midst of a dark and dying world. And I believe there can be a reformation, and I'm standing for it. But if that doesn't happen, you've got to also understand, you've got to understand it'll touch your life. Whether it controls you or not, it'll touch your kids. It'll touch your churches. It'll touch your neighborhood, the street you live on. I'm talking about in freedoms. Without a reformation, will we? I don't know. I'm not an alarmist or a conspiracy theorist. I'm real slow about things, even when people tell me stuff. But if it goes like it is, and there's another 4 years like this, and then that turns into another, will we be able to meet here 10 years from now? I don't know. You say, I'm talking about. Don't think that just a revival spiritual move alone won't have, that it'll change. There'll still be incredible, without any kind of reformation, incredible persecution. But we can still have this great revival no matter what. Are you glad? Hallelujah. But to think that it would be inconsequential would be wrong as well. But he gave me this, and I saw this, and I said, well, okay, I'll share it. And I believe this is where we're headed, and we're at this already. Revelation 12:7 says there was a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I'm not prophesying and saying this is the moment that that's happening or it's about. I'm just telling you, we're headed into these seasons, this time. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And get this, they loved not their life unto the death. Hallelujah. This is the mortification process that's already working in us. This is what L.A. was talking about. This is it. I mean, we trade it all. This is what Jamie was saying. We love America. We're going to become citizens. But we had to trade something. You're all here because you got here because you're laying down your life. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's not, I plead the blood. That's not what it's talking about. It's because of that blood and because of who you are in Christ and the power of the life of Christ in you. And you're standing stalwart up above things and you're saying, I will stand no matter what comes or goes. And by the word of their testimony, it's not, I want to give a testimony in church. It's because of what they're decreeing and what they're saying in the midst of all hell coming on the planet. They're saying America will be saved. My family will be saved. My sons and daughters are not going to be destroyed. They're not going to be taken out in the woke church. Back to what somebody was asking me. They said, what about this? And there was a good question. You know, what if you preach and then they come in and we're trying to save them. My God, we're trying to save them. Immokalee needs God. Oh, my God, Immokalee needs God. We want them to come in just as they are, but they must be changed. And nobody's going to go behind them and make sure. But we're going to preach the unadulterated word of God. And they said, what about if they don't, you know, if they're still living together and this? And I said, well, I can't do anything about that. I can't mandate it. I can't legalistically make that happen. I'll just keep preaching those triplicates in love and saying, if you do these things, if you live together, there's no grace for that. There's grace to change. But there's no grace to continue in that. You will wind up in a lake of fire if you continue to do that. we'll continue to, but what I said, what I can do, what I do have control over, I don't have to put anybody in authority that's doing that. Because I love them, they're not allowed to pick up a scrap of paper and be a janitor or anything, because I won't promote that. And then when's the last time you ever heard a pastor that loved somebody enough to tell them the truth? Not to embarrass them in front of, but to tell them the truth. The word's not... Most people don't even know 1 Corinthians 5 is in there when Paul said, look, if you have open fornication, like I don't follow people around. I don't want to know what people's doing. But if there's open fornication, like a father having his, or a son having his father's wife, hope it was his stepmother. But he said, I've turned him over, or you turn him over, and I've turned him over to Satan. But the essence of what I was about to say was this. He said, if a man be a fornicator and calls himself a brother, now that's different. I can still, really, according to that, and I don't know any that I hang out with, but, you know, if I was at the gym or this, that, and the other, and a man, I know he's living, but he's not claiming Christ at all. You want to have a hamburger, Pastor? Yeah. Okay. But if he's calling himself a brother, if he's calling himself, I'm born again. Oh yeah. And me and my girlfriend, we're living together. Then I have to politely say, not in front of, not trying to bear, no, according to the word. According to the word, I can't come to your fellowship. You can't flip hamburgers on Saturday night and be living with somebody and have the youth group over. I'm sorry, sir. I love you. But if you continue like this, you'll go to hell. And you don't hear that from the pulpit. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. But here's the clincher. They loved not their life unto the death. At some point, you've got to humble yourself to the point where you say, okay, this isn't my body. This isn't my body, and it's not my life. It's not my life. And it's your life. I'm an unprofitable servant. I've come into this, and for that man or for that woman who pushes into that place, they'll overcome him, whatever comes, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and loving not their life all the way to the end. And I can tell you this, all the promises of Ruach and Mane, he'll come and lavish because of the maturity in your life by laying down your life. You'll not only say, I don't care, all hell is breaking loose in America. I hope we have a reformation. I know we're going to have a revival. I hope we have a reformation. But if it continues on, I'll stand my ground, and I love not my life until the end. And I can tell you this, these paddles will raise the dead. The blind eyes will be opened. The deaf ears and the signs and wonders will confirm. There's a man, there's a woman spending time in Ruach. They're spending time in Mane. They love not their life. They're humbling their self, and they're going all the way to the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. It's about 20 after. I didn't know for sure, and he said, okay, do this, but some of you came, and this is not going to take long. That's why I decided it's 20 after. I think we'll be done by 8:30. And I've asked Pastor Jim to help me, and I'll just give a couple of prefaces to this. At some point, now the Holy Spirit does, or God does, he ministers to his people, you know, through so many different ways. We had a whole bunch of prayer cloths. Looks like they're all gone. It's awesome. We may need to charge some more before the conference is over. So Pastor Jim was exhorting on that and teaching us and what that was about. But sometimes people, see, we want to give God the opportunity for every aspect, and sometimes it's laying on of hands. And I'm going to open this in just a moment, because if there's someone that's here, or maybe several, that says, I really had an expectation that I would like to have hands laid on me in regards to what I'm believing for. Now, I'm not even going to, once we have this prayer line, even ask you what you're believing for. I'm just going to believe that you come and stand and presenting this need before the Lord. How many of you know that when the woman touched the hem of his garment, he didn't know the prayer request before it happened? Peter's shadow was not taking prayer requests. It just happened. The prayer cloths, don't you just love religion? It's funny. People say, you got to know the demon before you cast it out. And the prayer cloths were just being laid on them and the demons were leaving. What were the prayer cloths doing going, what is your name? What is your name? Religion's crazy. God wants to do it in so many different ways. So Pastor Jim is going to help me, because I asked him, he said, sure. But he'll start on this side, I'll start on that side, we'll just meet in the middle. If in this conference already, can you believe it's Wednesday? It's like they call it hump day. It's, man, I wish we could just stay two more weeks, except for grandkids. You know, we got to go. But if in this conference already there was a prayer prayed, a song sung, a message given, that your faith reached out and said, I got it. If you got it, then you really don't need this prayer line. You understand what I'm saying? There's no need to try to duplicate, I got it. But if there's something inside of you said, I was really at some point hoping for somebody to lay hands on me. And we're not going to, as far as I know, now I wouldn't be disobedient, but we're not going to give words of prophecy or tell you what we see. We're just going to touch in agreement with what you're standing for. It's a hem of his garment. Hallelujah. And I believe that he will touch you. Jamie, would you please? And I could have had Harry or Jamie. Yeah. But let's all stand for just a little bit. And if you need to sit for still, that's fine. It's not that we want to rush you through like a bunch of cattle. But there's no, when you understand the principle of you believing and me believing with you and just saying, be it unto you according to your faith. And I'm not doing this because any other reason that I saw him do it. So if you want to have, if you've already received, then that's good. Probably not a necessity. And the other thing is, if I pray for you, don't go get in Jim's line. And if Jim prays for you, don't come get in mine. We're not building like double-decker sandwiches here. Like, he's lettuce, I'm tomato, and somewhere in. We sure wish Gary was up here. That'd be the real meat. But anyway, wherever you wind up, somebody will touch you. And we're going to believe God with you. So if you want prayer, and there may be nobody, but if you want maybe several, if you want prayer, just come and line up right across the front. Okay? Hallelujah. And just kind of stand shoulder to shoulder right across the front. Hallelujah. Jamie, lead us in something. Worship God with us. Now, I don't want to scare anybody off from getting in the line. If you wanted to stand in the line, you can come and stand. Sometimes hands is what, because we'll never do away with hands, right? He said you'll lay hands. So that's all part of what we've been called to. So if anybody else, just another minute. Sing it, Jamie. Hallelujah. Now, we're not going to see how fast we can get to the middle, but we're going to just systematically begin to pray for you. All of you that are out there, whether you're sitting or standing, and if you need to sit, just pray. Pray in the Spirit. Stretch your faith this way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Jim. To those that are watching, let's do a Grace Christian Center prayer for those. Turn, if you would, all of us, let's turn to the camera. There's people at home that couldn't make the conference because they're struggling in their bodies. I command life for you. Restoration. Add 20 and 30 years to their life in the name of Jesus. I command backs to straighten out. Sciatica to change. Neuropathy to change in the name of Jesus. I command everything that's come against the bodies and against the minds and the souls and the hopelessness, I command it to be broken off in the name of Jesus. And restoration to bodies and physical things to take place as a result of this prayer that we're releasing towards you even now. Wherever you're at in the world, receive this. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Healing and virtue and the power of God rest upon you. And sleep tonight. Sleep. Rest. And the power of God resting upon your body. The glory of the Lord raising you up strong in these last days. You have a destiny and a purpose. It's been prophesied from the beginning. You're part of this army. Come forth in life, in grace, in the power and peace of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a day, right? What a day.